Yeah, we're glad you're in the house of God with us, and that Lord give us good meetings yesterday. He gave it. We sure didn't deserve anything he's done, but I really appreciate him. And it's good to see some of my friends I have not seen since last year or year before, no, last century nearly. But glad to see Brother Dye and Miss Dye here. We're glad y'all are here. Matter of fact, my wife and I were coming down the road today, and we were just talking about y'all, and we said everything bad we could think of, and then we just had to quit talking. Amen. But no, we love Brother Dye. We've known him a while, and then Brother Jones. I thank God for him. I was kidding around a while ago. The pastor, I told him I had met Brother Jones last century. You know, it sounds like a long time, but it ain't really been all that long. But we've known one a long time, and Brother Jones has been our dear friend. So I'm grateful. And Brother Deary Bear, we're glad he's here tonight. Any other preachers here? Well, if you are, and I missed you, who? Oh, yeah, out of your church. And what's your name, dear brother? I'm sorry, bad here. Alan McFalls. What type of missionary work are you doing? Hey, what about that? Amen. Central Asia, man. All right, I want you to open the Bible book of Matthew, if you will, tonight. Matthew 14. We preached a little bit about Peter last night. I'm going to preach a little bit more about him tonight in a way. So I'm going to read from Matthew chapter number 14, if you would like to follow with us. And I'm going to ask you, as I go through here, I've got several verses that I want to key in on. And I'm going to ask you to try to, I know you won't be able to remember all of it, but I'm going to key in on some of these verses, and I'll tell you about them. And I want you to particularly pay attention to these verses as we read them. Will y'all do that with me? All right, good. So we're going to give a test as the reading's over. Okay, amen. All right, verse number 1. At that time, Herod the Tetrarch heard of the fame of Jesus and said unto his servants, "This is John the Baptist. He is risen from the dead, and therefore mighty works do show forth themselves in him. For Herod had laid hold on John and bound him and put him in prison for Herodias' sake, his brother Philip's wife. For John said unto him, It is not lawful for thee to have her. And when he would have put him to death, he feared the multitude, because they counted him as a prophet. But when Herod's birthday was kept, the daughter of Herodias danced before him and pleased Herod. And whereupon he promised with an oath to give her whatsoever she would ask. And she, being before instructed of her mother, said, Give me here John Baptist's head in a charger. And the king was sorry, nevertheless, for the oath's sake, and them that sat with him at meat, he commanded it to be given her. And he sent and beheaded John in the prison, and his head was brought in a charger and given to the damsel. And she brought it to her mother. And his disciples came and took up the body and buried it and went and told Jesus. When Jesus heard of it, he departed thence by ship into a desert place apart. And when the people had heard thereof, they followed him on foot out of the cities. And Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion toward them, and he healed their sick. And when it was evening, his disciples came to him, saying, This is a desert place, and the time is now past. Send the multitude away, that they may go into the villages and buy themselves victuals. But Jesus said unto them, They need not depart, give ye them to eat. And that they say unto him, We have here but 5 loaves and 2 fishes. He said, Bring them hither to me. Now, verse 19 will be one of those verses I want you to pay attention to. And he commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass, and took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, and looked up to heaven and blessed and brake and gave the loaves to his disciples and the disciples to the multitude. And they did all eat and were filled. And they took up the fragments that remained, 12 baskets full. Now 21, 2, 3, 4, 6, 8, 9, so on. I want you to try to concentrate as I'm reading. Verse 21. And they that had eaten were about 5,000 men, beside women and children. And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side, where he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up in the mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit." And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water." And he said, "Come." And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, "O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased, and they that were in the ship came and worshiped him, saying, "Of a truth, thou art the Son of God." And when they were gone over, they came into the land of Gennesaret. Well, I'll give you a break and leave off two verses. I want to pray with you. And then I want to try to give you a little thought that the Lord's given me out of this passage. And I hope you'll pay attention and maybe God will help all of us. Father, I want to give thanks to you today for being the God of gods that you are. Father, I want to thank you for your wonderful determinate counsel that determined the plan of our salvation. And Lord, I want to thank you. You just did not make a plan, but Lord, you executed that plan by sending your Son and letting him die for our sins on the cross. And I thank you for his resurrection, for his ascension. And Lord, I thank you for his intercession even now on our behalf. I want to pray, Father, you would look upon us tonight with exceeding mercy and exceeding grace. And I pray that, Lord, that every need that is represented in this building tonight, that somehow, Lord, through the message or maybe through something that'll be done, that you would touch those needs, you would touch those hearts, and that, Lord, the Spirit of God would move in a way that would revive and stir your servants again. Lord, help us now. Help us to be clear in what we're saying. We'll honor you in Christ's name. Amen. All right, now you may not think that surely I can tie all these together. Well, I'm not going to tie all them together, but I want to show you where we're going, and then we're going to build and give you some thoughts from the passage. Now, where we're going in verse number 29, I want you to look at verse 29. The Bible said, Peter said, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee walking on the water." Did he do that? You really believe he did that? I believe he did that. All right, verse number 29. And he said, Jesus said, "Come." And you will notice that Jesus only gave him one word as a commandment. Does God's word have power? Well, I'm not good on English, but the word "come" is only a one-syllable word. Is that true? It's only got one syllable. And yet here Peter is. He's responding to one syllable from the mouth of Jesus. And what happens when he does? Well, look what it said. Jesus said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. So one word had enough power for Peter to walk on the water. Say, but yeah, Brother Wells, but he sunk. He did, but he still holds the record, you know. Nobody else has got that record. I mean, he's still the one that holds the record on walking on the water. So with one word had enough power to help Peter to walk on the water. So look at verse number 30 now. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, Lord, save me. So Peter is doing what no other man outside Jesus has ever done, but while he's walking on the water. But the Bible said he saw the wind boisterous. Now, here's what I want you to know. You know this already, but let me say it. Peter did not see the wind. Peter saw the effects of the wind. Hey, you can't, that wind's blowed all day long. But you've not seen the wind. You've seen the effects of the wind. There's some kind of tree over there in the motel where I'm staying that's got all kind of blooms on it. Do you know today that wind, and I didn't see the wind, but there's hardly a bloom left on that tree today because of that wind. So here's what Peter did. Peter saw the wind, or saw the results of the wind, and became afraid, and immediately he began to sink, and then he cried, Lord, save me. Here's where I'm going to try to go. I want to encourage my heart and yours tonight on keeping your focus on Jesus. Keeping your focus on Jesus. All right, so what do I mean when I say keeping your focus on Jesus? Well, I think I got a good explanation here. You remember when he said, Lord, save me, remember that? Well, did not the Bible say Jesus reached his hand out and picked him up? Is that right? All right, so what's the very first thing Jesus said to Peter after he lifted him up? He said, where is your faith? Wherefore didst thou doubt? So here's what he did. As a matter of fact, that's an explanation of what it means to stay focused on the Lord. It doesn't mean that you're staring at a picture of him. It doesn't mean you have a mental image of Jesus and you're just staring at him all the time. But staying focused on Jesus means that your faith is active in him. You're not letting your faith get weak here about him, but you're going to stay focused on him. Keep your faith alert. Keep your faith active in the Lord. So now let me say this to you today. Is it important to keep our faith active in the Lord? You better hear what I'm telling you, buddy. Now, let me give you some illustrations here. Move on. So let's look at, don't turn, but just listen. 2 Timothy 3 will answer this question. Is it really important to keep our faith focused on Jesus in these hours I'm living? Well, here's what it said. The Bible said, this know also, then the last days, perilous times shall come. Are they here? Now you say, well, Wilson, it's always been dangerous. Yeah, but let me tell you what my perspective that is. That word perilous times here, it means weak times. And the reason it's dangerous is this. God's people have never been weaker in faith than they are in these days we're living in. And so he said, perilous times are here, and they are here. Now let me ask you this. Is the next verse true? For men shall be lovers of their own selves. Could anybody agree with that? I mean, I have never seen so many people in love with themselves as I am seeing in this hour we're living in. I mean, they love themselves. Matter of fact, they love themselves so much, neighbor, they would cut their mother's throat to love their own self. Amen. So what about this now? So they're lovers of their own self. They're covetous. They're boasters. Oh, have you ever seen such boasting? Amen. Oh, yeah. Well, I can't get right tied up here. So boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedience to parents. Oh, my soul. Are y'all hearing me now? Have I ever lived in time in which we are seeing young people disobedient to their parents like they are today? It's like they'll look them right in the eyeball and tell them, I'm not going to do what you're asking me to do. So we're there. So well, Brother Wells, what would keep me from doing that? It's called F-A-I-T-H. It's called faith in the Son of the Living God. See, it's so, the hour we're living in, it is so important to keep an active, strong faith in the Lord. Now, I'm going to give you a couple of illustrations here. I believe the Lord must give this, and then I'm going to move on. I'm going to tell you about a friend of mine, and I won't give you his name, but I'll tell you something about him. Y'all listen to me now. This is important to me. So I met this young, matter of fact, I met this boy's daddy years and years ago. And I re-met that family, some years ago. And the son I'm talking about was in a Christian school. And this son had such a tremendous mental capability. I have no idea how much that boy memorized from the scripture. Y'all listen to me now. I mean, he was phenomenal with how much he knew of that scripture. It looked like his faith was strong. It looked like it was. But he went to college. He went to public college, a neighbor with a brain as smart as he is. And while in public college, he began to get some, the teachers began to attack his faith. They began to attack it, a neighbor, and just to come at him at all kind of angles. And that young man left Christianity. He left his church. He left loving God. He left the faith of the Lord. You know why? Because his faith was tested and he was not determined to hang on to the faith that his parents had instilled in him. Are y'all hear me now? Well, I'm going to give you another one right quickly. And so I just got off the phone today with somebody. Now, hang with me a second. You won't know what I'm talking about. But I preached in this church just several weeks ago. I say maybe it's been a couple of months ago. I preached in this church. And there was one young man in that church that I had met and knew was one of the finest, specimens of Christianity that I had ever seen. I mean, a fine specimen. Well, when I preached there for that pastor, my wife and I said to one another, there's something wrong with that young boy. There's something wrong with him. And so we just let it go there and we prayed. Well, just day before yesterday, we got the information this boy is now out of church. Now, y'all listen to me now. So where did this come from? Here's where it came. A smart young man went off to college. He went off to college, started learning things he shouldn't learn. The professors he's under started attacking his faith, started attacking what he said he believed. And that boy now said to his daddy, Daddy, I don't have any more desire in my heart to serve God in the church. Why? Here's why. His faith got attacked, and his faith went down the tube. Y'all listen to me now. I'm not done. Hang with me now. I want to tell you about another one. This young lady was raised under my ministry. And she went to Bob Jones University. Oh, yeah. And so she enrolled there. And so she came home from college one day, and she didn't quarter me, but she had questions to ask. And here's what was happening. While she's there at this fundamental college, her faith is being attacked. Are y'all hear me? The things that she's taught from the Word of God, now then, her faith maybe is being attacked in those areas. Now she's wondering if she's been taught the truth or not. And now, neighbor, she is going to go down straight. Y'all hear me now? All right, so I think I'm going to give you one more. Well, let's see. Yes, I'm going to give you one more. And I'll not give you this guy's name, but he is now a doctor. And so I remember when this young man was a young man, and his parents wanted me to talk to him. I came and I spent hours talking to this young man and trying to establish him, get him going. Well, I never was successful. But he went off, I think, to UT. It's where he went. He's now a psychiatrist, and he's now then atheistic in his views. You know why? Because the faith that his parents, grandparents tried to instill in him when he got under the influence of somebody that would boldly attack that faith, he went down the tube. Now, y'all listen to me now. So now, especially you young people, I'm telling you, you better hear what I'm saying. See, when you get born again, God gives you the faith to trust him. Is that so? God puts the faith in your heart to trust him. Now then, God is not going to maintain that faith for you. You are responsible for maintaining that faith in your own heart and life. I'm going to tell you what you better do. Listen to me now. You better make up your mind that what I've been taught is biblical. I'm not going to forsake it no matter what. Amen. I tell you, here's what I pray. I pray this regularly. I mean, I pray it regularly. I say, Lord, I reaffirm my faith in that Word of God. I accept that as the eternal, infallible, inerrant Word of God. And Lord, I make my choice to believe it. I make my choice to stand with it. And I make my choice to reject anybody and anything that attacks my faith. Yeah. You say, that's not kind. I don't care if it's kind or not. It's my faith that's important, and I'm not willing to let anybody else attack my faith and drag it down the bottom. Amen. Amen. So now, some days I've got to leave out here, and I'll move along. So here's what I want to do. Will y'all listen to me now? Here's what we're going to do. All this passage I read to you tonight, I'm looking at it in this light. All right, so what can I expect if I keep my faith focused on the Son of God? What can I expect in my life if I allow myself to stay focused on Him, no matter if I'm young, young adult, or if I'm middle-aged, an old man, don't make a difference. What can I expect if I keep my faith focused on the Son of God? Are y'all with me now? All right, so let's study together. Go to verse number 30. Look in verse number 30. All right, watch what he said. So the Bible said, when Peter saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. Now let me ask you this question. Who was he looking at before he saw the wind? Help me now. He was looking at Jesus before he saw the wind. Now, here's what I want you to get. So he's focused on the Son of God. Now then, he moves his focus to the boisterousness of the wind and the waves that are being created by the wind. So he takes his focus off the Lord. Is that right? So now let me make this statement. Then I'll move on. When Jesus lifted him up, they walked back to the ship and the storm had not ceased. They walked back to the ship in the midst of the storm, and the wind was blowing just as strong when he started back as it was when he left the ship. Point is here. So here's, let me ask you that now. Help us here, Lord. So if Peter, so he's walking on the water, there's boisterous waves. The wind's blowing. He can feel the wind in his face. What would have happened to Peter if he had kept his eyes on the Lord? Huh? All right. That's good. Now, let me tell you my perspective on this. And that's this. If he had kept his eyes on Jesus, there are some things that he ought not to see, he'd have never seen them. Now, did y'all give us that? And see, if he'd have kept his eyes on the Lord, he would not have seen the waves. Y'all listen to me today. If we'd keep our eyes on the Lord, there's some things in our life that distract us. We would not be distracted if we'd kept our eyes on the Lord. Listen to me now. What about Achan? What about Achan? Remember that guy? So there he is. And I mean, he went out that day ready to go to war. I mean, and the battle at Jericho. And his eyes saw a golden wedge, a bead of silver, and a garment. Saw it. The Bible said he lusted after it and I took it. Are y'all listening now? And you know what happened, don't you? In the end, he lost his wife, his children, himself, and everything he had was stoned and put under a pile of rocks and then burned. Let me ask you this. How many other soldiers you reckon that day that went to battle in Jericho saw gold and saw silver and saw garments they didn't have? But they weren't stoned. You know why? Because they kept their eyes focused where it should have been focused. So here's what I'm trying to say. I'm trying to say tonight, if I keep my eyes focused on the Lord, there's some things that I might see that won't affect me, and there's some things that neighbor I will not be able to look at because I got my eyes focused on it. So let me explain that a little better. Are y'all listening? So we are blessed and cursed by smartphones. And that is right. We're blessed and cursed by them. How many men, how many young boys and young girls and men have gotten their life off track because of something they saw on them smartphones? Come here now, I'm telling you. And could I say this tonight? You cannot be on the internet long without seeing something that neighbor will lure you away if you give attention to it. But wait a minute. What's this focusing on the Lord? Look here. If I'm at a point in life where I know that I cannot handle looking at certain things, then here's my choice. I've got to keep my eyes on Him, and I've got to abstain from those things that neighbor will lead me to things I ought not to see. Did I say that right? Yeah. I said right? Yeah. But now, if I'm walking with God, if I'm walking the Lord and I see something I ought not to see, then my focus on the Lord will disregard that and move on to do what's right.
Amen.
I know a missionary right now had to come home. You know why he came home? He got caught in pornography. He got caught watching on the internet in another country watching pornography, and he lost his ministry because of that. Why? He got his focus on the wrong thing. See, focusing on Christ will keep your eyes off of things you ought not to see. You won't be running around saying, "Wow, what a hunk." You won't be running around saying, "Wow, what a doll." Amen. So let me ask you this question here. So I got to move on, but I want to ask you, what if we check your phone tonight? Huh? You say, "Brother Wells, I've got a race." Then you probably are very illiterate on the racing things. They never do get erased. Yeah, they may be removed so you can't see them, but they're still there, and the guy that's got brains can know how to find them. Yeah. What would we find if we took a look at yours?
Yeah.
Hello, y'all.
Yeah.
All right, I want you to go to verse 28. I'll move off of that because I think you got the point. What do y'all think? All right, so I want to look at verse 26. Are y'all there? I might have said 28, but it's verse 26. Are you there? All right, so I want you to look at this now. When the disciples saw him, that is Jesus, walking on the sea, they were troubled and thus and so. Now, I want you to get this idea. So they're in their ship, but the last thing they saw was Jesus saying, "Boys, I'm going to send the multitudes away, and I'll meet you, thus and so." I don't know what he might say, but the last thing in their eyes and their mind was that Son of God they saw feed the 5,000, maybe 10, and now they're on a ship, and here's what the Bible said. Now, Jesus came walking to them on the water. All right, here's the conclusion. Well, y'all listen to me. Grab this conclusion. If I'll keep my focus on the Lord, it'll help me see some things I did not expect to see. Y'all listen to that. Do you think for one second when they got in that ship to go to the other side, do you think for one second they thought they would see a man walking on the water coming to them? Huh? Let me ask you a question. Since you've been born again, since you've been saved, especially you pastors, and you've been saved, walking with God, have you not seen some things, good things, that you never expected to see? Yeah. See, here's what I'm telling you. You keep your focus on the Son of God, and God will let you see some things that you never expected to see. Y'all with me? Now, I don't know, hell will have to determine the outcome of this, but I remember in 1992, we had revival at our church. I don't know how many hundreds of people made profession of faith in that revival, but there's still some around now that are still having it. They're still living for the Lord. Are y'all hearing me now?
Yeah.
I never expected to see a revival break out and go like that. Are y'all listening to me today? See, if you'll keep your focus on Him, the Lord will let you see some things that you never, ever dreamed that you'd get to say, oh. I remember a young preacher. We had this guy that lived, I was getting ready to go to Bible college for whatever that was worth. And we had this guy that lived in our community, in our church community. I can't even remember his name. But he was a drunk. He was a gambler. He was a vile, wicked, ungodly man. And he had a little son that come to our church that was absolutely a demon. I'm telling you. Me or the pastor would be a preaching, and that little rascal would come all the way back. He'd work his way into the pew and come down here and peek out at me while I was a preaching. I mean, he's a little devil. Are y'all with me now? Listen.
Amen.
And so I went off to Bible college. I came home one weekend. I don't know how long this was. And my pastor said, "Brother Larry, guess who got saved?" That very man, that neighbor, that father, that little demonic kid, got born again, got saved by God's grace. Hallelujah. I prayed for a man named Gerald Taylor for 37 years. I mean, I met him when I first went to Newport. I prayed for him for 37 years. He never got saved, never got born again. I mean, all kind of tragedies happened in his life. And you know what? Maybe my faith is a little weak, but I had times when my faith would get weak and I'd say, well, don't get sick of him. Then my faith would get strong and I believe God's going to get him. 3 years before I resigned the church, I was preaching some little simple message one Sunday morning, and down the right side, this guy came and fell in the altar and got born again. Are y'all? I mean, 37 years I prayed for him. Are y'all getting what I'm trying to say? I'm trying to say, keep your focus on the Son of God, and God will let you see some things that you never dreamed you would ever see.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Well, help us here, Lord. And all right, so let me show you where else I want to go here, and I'll move on. All right, so I want you to go to verse 28 again. All right, so now they saw him walking in the water. Now, look what Peter did in verse number 28. And Peter answered and said, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee walking on the water." Here's the conclusion. If I keep my eyes focused on him, I'll be asking for things I never dreamed I'd ask for. Y'all hear that? I'll be asking for some things I never dreamed. Look, in all of Peter's life, on this very moment, in Matthew chapter 14, Peter never had one faint thought that I would ever ask God to let me walk on the water. Y'all listen to me now. Here's what I'm saying. If you stay focused on the Son of God, you'll be asking God for things you never dreamed you would ask Him for.
Amen.
Y'all hear me now? Am I all right with y'all? We had let me give you this. Y'all, if you've been to the new Calvary Baptist Tabernacle Church building, haven't you? The new one? Anybody else been over there to that new church? All right, a few of you have. Well, let me tell you what happened. My son Andy was with me back in them days. He is with me. He worked with me in a Christian school. And he was my assistant pastor. So we've been out at the nursing home one, I don't know what day it was, maybe it's Sunday. And then we came back, and there's this building sitting on the side of the road. and we've been kind of praying about it. And I said, let's pull in here and have prayer about this building. So we pulled in there, and we just a bunch of teenagers. Matter of fact, I think wasn't just one or two adults there. And the teenagers all gathered around us. We stood, and a matter of fact, stood in a circle. I can almost take you to the spot where we stood. And there, we didn't shout and holler and scream, but we stood there in that circle. And we prayed, God, give us this property. Give us this property. It was an automobile dealership building. Had 4 acres of property to it. And that man that owned it, I went and talked to him. He said, preacher, we'll let you have it for $150,000 and we'll carry the loan. Can't beat that one. In two years, we had that $150,000 paid off. And then we built that complex over there on that piece of property. And if you ain't ever seen it, it is a very handsome piece of property and a handsome building. Probably worth the excess of over $2 million right now. But here's what I'm saying. I never dreamed in all my life I would stand in a circle with a bunch of teenagers and pray for God to give me a piece of property that's going to be worth $2 million. Peter never dreamed. I'm going to pray to God one day. Let me walk on the water. What do you think God might have you pray for?
Amen. Wow.
What do you think God might put in your heart to pray for? All right, let me give you another illustration.
Yeah.
And this is the negative side. I had a friend of mine that pastored in Knoxville. Brother Ronnie would know him if I mentioned his name. But he pastored in Knoxville. And here's what he said. He said, one night God woke me up and told me to pray for my son. Oh, hear me now. He said he got up and he went and prayed for his son, who at that moment was living in California. He said he prayed and went back to bed. And he said, God said, get up and pray for your son. And he said, Lord, I've already prayed for my son. And he went back to bed and went to sleep. And not long after he went to sleep, the phone rang. And it was a police in one of the cities in California. And they said, Mr. So-and-so, are you this? And he said, do you have a son named this? He said, yes. He said he was working at a service station, and robbers came in and robbed the station and killed him. That man had to live with that till the day he died. You know why? Because for a moment, he did not keep his eyes focused on the Lord. He had to live with that the rest of his life. So what we're trying to say is this. See, if I'll keep my eyes focused on sin, and let's let the Holy Spirit lead me, there is no telling what God will have us pray. Let me ask you this. Have you not ever been praying, and all of a sudden, you just felt compelled to pray for somebody that you hadn't thought of in a long time? What was happening to your ears? There, evidently, there was a need out there somewhere. You had no idea what it was. But that God of heaven that you were focused on knew about it. And God had you to pray for something you never expected you would pray for.
Yeah,
hallelujah.
Amen.
Are y'all okay with all that?
Yeah.
Well, I ain't done now. Stay with me a minute or two. And all right, so go if you would please to verse number 28 again. And so if we'll keep focused, neighbor, we'll be asking for things we normally wouldn't ask for. Now, he said, bid me come to thee walking on the water. And verse 29 said, he got down and came to Jesus. So let me ask you this. Would you say that this is a marvelous thing he's doing? Would y'all say that? All right, so here's my point with that verse, and that is this. If I stay focused on him, he will help me believe things I normally would not believe for. Does that make sense? Look here. Do you think for one second when Jesus said come, do you think for one second Peter stuck his foot in the water and touched it and said, I'm not sure if I can or not? No. He was thoroughly convinced that he was going to walk on that water. You know why? He was so focused on the Lord. He was doing something that he normally could not do. Are y'all hearing me tonight? See, if you'll stay focused on the Lord, God will help you do some things that you never dreamed you could do. Oh, y'all hearing that? You'll never dream what God would do. Oh, I wish I could get this across. I wish I could somehow help us tonight to see that God wants to do things for us. But you and I got to focus on Him, then on the phone, then on the tablet, then on the television. I'm not being ugly. I'm just being truthful here. Boy, it would be amazing what our God would let us pray for and let us do. Amen. Somebody say, Brother Wells, we can never see revival in this country. What was that old boy's name over there in Wales? What was his name? What was his name? Call him XYZ. Who? Evan Roberts. Little old boy named Evan Roberts. Got to meet with God, crying to God, praying to God, keep his eyes on the Lord. And I don't know all the story. It's been so long since I read the story. But Evan Roberts kept crying to God, stayed focused on the Lord, stayed focused on the Lord. And one night, revival started breaking out, and they said hundreds of thousands of people got saved. Oh, hear me now. And we're wanting God to do what He's done then, but we're wanting our focus divided. We're wanting our focus divided on Him and then on the world and on church and on this, on that and the other. But the Lord wants my focus to be continually on Him. If I can keep it there, I'm telling you, God's going to let me see some things. God's going to let me do some things that I never dreamed I could do. Amen. All right, so let me give you about 25 more. We'll be done. So now I want you to look, if you would please, at verse number 29. Oh, I want you to look here. And so the Bible said, and he walked on the water to go to Jesus. I think I probably covered that. And it will help us do some things we never dreamed we could do. But now I want you to go back to verse number 19 and 20. Will y'all look back with me, please? Oh, no, I really want you to look at this now. Look at verse number 19. Now, you know the story. There's 5,000 plus women and children are being fed. Are you looking at it? Now, let me ask you a question. Don't answer it. Who fed the multitude? Don't answer that. Let us read. And he commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass and took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes. And looking up to heaven, he blessed and brake and gave the loaves to his disciples and the disciples to the multitude. Did y'all see what that said? You say Jesus fed the multitude. Sure he did. He blessed the bread. He multiplied the bread. Here's what he did. He put it in the hands of those disciples.
Yeah.
And those 12 disciples, Judas 17 was in there too, but those 12 apostles went through that multitude, and from their hands, his orders through their hands fed over 10,000 people. Now here's what I want you to get. When you keep your eyes focused on him, he'll let you minister to people you never dreamed you could minister to. I can just see a mic now when it got done. Jesus said, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. And they came in there with 12 baskets, and we're not arguing over the size of the baskets, but they have 12 baskets. And those boys must have looked at one and said, who would ever believed we would have fed that many people and had this much left over? It's amazing. See, they stayed focused. They stayed focused on him. Look who God led them. Are y'all hearing me? Let me give you a story. Some of y'all, I know preachers have probably heard this, but I'm going to tell it to you anyway. I heard Brother Andy on his podcast just a few weeks ago. And the podcast was on the hitchhiker. Did you hear that one, Brother Andy? Well, the boy's name was Roger Sims. Roger just got out of the military. Now, true story. Roger Sims just got out of the military and was hitchhiking back home just outside of Chicago. And while he's hitchhiking, this big black Cadillac came by and stopped and picked him up. Roger was born again, saved by God's grace. This guy was named, I can't remember his name now. But anyway, he picked Roger up, and Roger said, I kept wanting to testify and witness to him. And he said, about 30 minutes or so before we ever got to where it's going, he said, God let me witness to him and give him the gospel. Hear me now. And he said, when I got done giving the gospel, he pulled that big old Cadillac over the side. He said, I just knew he was going to maybe get out of the car. But he said, when he stopped, his head fell down the steering wheel. And he said, lead me to Jesus. And Roger led him to Christ right there beside the road. And in the course of time, they just got back on the road, and he got to the exit where Roger got off, and he went off and went his way. Five years later, he was in, done his business, and he went to Chicago for a business trip, and he said he went to this man's office, Overton, I believe he was right. I can't remember. But anyway, he went there and he said, I want to see him. And the secretary said, you cannot see him. It's impossible. Said he can see his wife. He went in this office where this woman was sitting. And she said, I understand you're asking about my husband. He said, yes. She said, what connection do you have with him? He said, 5 years ago, I was hitchhiking home from the military. And I witnessed to your husband and talked to him about the Lord. He got saved. She said, what day was that on? He said, it was on May the 7th. He said, she broke down and started bawling and squalling, uncontrollably squalling and crying. When she got composed, here's what she said. She said, you don't know this. But she said, 5 years ago on May the 7th, my husband was entering Chicago and had a wreck and got killed. And she said, I prayed for years for God to save him, and I felt like God giving me a word that he was going to save him. I never got the news that he got saved. And she said, my faith was crushed. I quit God. I have not been back to church in 5 years. And she broke down and wept her way back to God. Here's what I'm saying. Roger Sims didn't have no idea what he's doing. But this was a wealthy man. And Roger Sims evidently was keeping his eyes on the Lord, and God let him minister to man. Had multiplied millions. And God saved him. Several years ago, my little daughter, she went to clinic, a rural clinic up in our town. And this doctor, nurse, whatever she was, I mean, she wasn't just a nurse. Maybe she was a practitioner, I don't know. But anyway, this girl said to my daughter, your last name is Wells? She said, yes. She said, are you kin to Larry Wells? She said, yeah, he's my daddy. And she said, years ago, I was in a revival meeting at Calvary Baptist Church in Kingston, Tennessee. And God saved me in that meeting. Who would ever believe that God would let somebody like me minister to somebody who's going to be a doctor? I wonder if God would let you minister to. I wonder if the Lord would let your little voice open up and minister to somebody. I wonder who it could be. And so they kept their eyes on him. And he let them minister to people they never dreamed they would minister to. I will tell you this. From verse 22 through 24, if you keep your eyes on him, he will let you encounter difficulties you didn't expect to encounter. Do you hear that? I don't think y'all heard that. If you keep your eyes focused on him, he put them in the ship. They never dreamed that they're going to encounter that storm. He'll let you encounter things that are difficult you never thought you'd encounter. Now, I've told this here before, but some of y'all visitors ain't heard it. We had a lady in our church. Her name is Sheila. She had three children and a husband. And they attended our church. And her husband got crossed up with me somehow. I don't even know about what. But he quit coming to church. And at our Christmas social one year, he came back. And he started trying to fellowship with us. I don't know what he'd done in his heart. But right after Christmas, he went to work on the night shift. And somebody found him laying in the break room. Dead. Now, I had his funeral, and God helped. Anyway, not long after that, she had a daughter, and the daughter had a couple of illegitimate children, and she had divorced the guy she was married with, and she was out with the boys drinking, and they were up in the mountains in our area, and he was drinking, and he was driving her car. He tried to negotiate a curve and missed it. And he turned the car over on its top in a creek. And he got out, but she drowned in a foot of water. She was in her seatbelt and couldn't get out. Sheila called me in the middle of the night. She's Brother Wells. She's gone. Though that night she asked me to come to the hospital. So I went to the hospital. And we saw her, but here's the thing about Sheila. Sheila said she never questioned God. I mean, not one time. Her faith was so strong in God. It was unreal. We buried that girl, and then she had a son that was our pianist, fabulous piano player. He went to Crown College, and he was in Florida. Representing Crown College, and a citrus truck came across the line, hit their van head on, and I believe six of those kids got killed. Bradley was one of them. And she called me. She said, "Who else? Bradley's gone home." I mean, just like that. Bradley's gone home. And she praised God and thanked God. And worship God through those three tragedies that we got to be with her. You know why? She's just focused on Jesus. Just focused on him. Focused on him. What are you focused on? No, you've already got your college. No, you ain't got your college education, have you? You've got yours already. So don't answer me. What are you focused on? What are you focused on, Ben? You're just getting started. What are y'all focused on? What are you focused on when you're going to college? What are you focused on about college? Brother Dye, man, you got a little age on us. What are we focused on? Dear brother, what are you focused on in Asia? God wants to do, but he can't do with half-heartedness. He wants us to stay focused on him. We stay focused on him. God in heaven only knows what he can do. He said, look, I prayed for America when I started praying for America about revival. I'm telling you, I just repeated it and went on. I thought America's too far gone for God to do anything. But the truth is, God is God. God can do anything. He just got a bunch of Christians. I'm sorry, we're just not believing him. We believed him to get saved. But to walk with him, we just don't seem to be believing him and trusting him. What are you focusing on? And it is so, listen, I'm not trying to be mean, but it is so easy to get focused on something that the Lord don't want you to focus on. Let's pray, I'm done.